T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
This is a point at which we'll now screen and more effectively for the possibility that people may become dependent on the government in the future. And the Congress has told us we have to look at age, health, financial status, skills, education. And this is a way we measure the possibility they'll be on the dole in the future.
Ken Cuccinelli there announcing the change to the way immigrants are going to be screened in the United States. Shocker. This was already United States law passed many years ago. It's just never been enforced. Welcome back into the show. Glad that you're with us on this Tuesday morning. We've got lots to get to today. We got Mark Lotter coming up this morning about 7:37. He is the director of communications for President Trump's reelection campaign. We're going to get to him. And Alexandra Saltzman joining us from the Missouri Firearms Coalition about 1 hour from now at 8:10. We're going to focus on open carry, concealed carry here in the state, and the situation in Springfield and red flag laws and all of that. So be sure and stay tuned. We're going to have everything you need right here in one place. Right now, though, I want to get to my guest. He is Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Love having him back on here again. He's the author of Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, and you can follow him at Alan West on Twitter. Colonel West, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you again, Mark.
It's great to have you on here, sir. I always appreciate that. And I know that down in the great state of Texas, they're pretty much on the front lines of this immigration crisis. And that seems to be dominating the headlines this morning.
Well, it is. But you brought up a great point. You just wish people would enforce the laws that are on our books. And you wish that, you know, you had people that will let the American people know that we're just doing what, you know, we're supposed to do by our rule of law. And let's think about this. If you look at Mexico's laws as far as people coming into Mexico, this is the exact same thing. You have to be able to sustain yourself. You have to show that you have a job. You cannot come in and just be, you know, dependent upon the government. If you look at so many people on the left say that we need to be more like Europe, well, even Angela Merkel says that anyone coming into Germany, they must speak German. Can you imagine if Donald Trump were to say that you must speak English if you were coming into the United States of America? So, again, you have the left completely chasing their tails, but they should just understand that we're just upholding our own law.
Yeah, you know, Ken Cuccinelli, who is the acting director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, you know, pointed out that this does is put into effect rules we already had in place. And you brought up Mexico. I'm going to bring up Canada. Canada has done this forever. You can't just immigrate to Canada. You have to prove to the Canadian government that you have the ability to support yourself when you get there. And they can't even offer you a job in Canada unless they've made sure that there's not a Canadian who would rather have that job.
Yeah, absolutely right. And so all of these Hollywood actors and everyone that said they were going to leave America and go to Canada, maybe they didn't go to Canada because of exactly that law. They could not show that they would be able to, you know, sustain themselves there. But again, you know, what President Trump is doing is right by the American people. And again, he is standing up for our rule of law. And I just can't understand, Mark, when I see these people saying that they're running to be president of the United States of America, but then they want open borders. They want anyone to come here as they wish, and then they want the government to fully take care of them. You know, the indignation that people are showing about the raid that happened down in Mississippi. Well, if you are an adult and you violate a law, guess what happens? You're going to be sent off to jail or to prison. And every day that happens in the United States of America, that some man or some woman that has broken law, if they have children, they're separated away from their children. So, again, I think from the left, there's as much to do about nothing. They're trying to use it as a political talking point, but it's falling on deaf ears for most of America,
Well, you know, Stephen Miller, one of the advisors to the president, got into it famously with Jim Acosta over the plaque on the Statue of Liberty when Acosta said, should we just throw that plaque away? And Stephen Miller's like, no. Let me give you a little history lesson here. But the poem you're referring to was added to the statue later. It's not actually part of the Statue of Liberty. And, of course, the media never learns their lesson. They bring up the same thing to Ken Cuccinelli again yesterday. Go to cut 22, please.
This rule will cover, for USCIS, almost 400,000 people a year whose applications to become legal permanent residents will include a meaningful analysis of whether they're likely to become a public charge or not. I do not think by any means we're ready to take anything off the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, so it's got really nothing to do with the give us your poor, your huddled masses thing. When a lot of people came through Ellis Island, they were given a medical checkup and a pat on the back, and they had to go earn a living. It's not like that anymore.
Yeah, and there were some that, you know, if they did not pass this medical screening or whatever, they weren't allowed entry into the United States of America. But now you look at what's happened with our Border Patrol agents and the type of diseases that they are being exposed to, this should be a big concern. And then, of course, these individuals are released into the United States of America without having the proper medical treatment, what have you, because of the insidious asylum laws that we have. But again, we had people that came here to the United States of America. I have a lot of dear friends, you know, and my first tour of duty was in Italy. And every now and then I try to practice my Italian with them. And you know what they'll tell me? You know, our grandparents said that, no, you're going to learn English because we're here in America and we're Americans. And people came here to work hard. And you go back and you can study all of the Europeans that immigrated in here. They did not come here to be part of a welfare nanny state, a dependency society. They came here to be part of an opportunity society.
Yeah, it's a great point. We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, our guest this morning. You know, Colonel West, we had you on, a month or two ago, and you were getting ready to make a pretty big announcement. What's the latest on that?
Well, you know, back on July the 3rd, we announced that we would explore the opportunity to be the next chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, and I felt that July the 3rd was appropriate because July the 4th of 1867 is the founding day of the Republican Party of Texas, which is, you know, our Independence Day. But the interesting thing, Mark, is that the Republican Party of Texas was founded by 150 blacks. And if you wanted to do your history, the Democrat Party was establishing the Ku Klux Klan at the same time. But this week we will move forward and we will officially make the announcement that we will run for the chairmanship of the Republican Party of Texas, because the ideological battle for America is right here in the Lone Star State. It's not in Washington, D.C. It's right here. And the Democrats, if you've been reading some of the articles, they really think that they have momentum behind them to flip Texas.
Yeah, well, to hear Beto O'Rourke tell it, I mean, of course, he's getting 1% in all the polls right now for the Democrats, but he certainly thinks that his home state is ground zero, and I'm glad that you recognize that, and we need good people in the fight down there.
Absolutely, and we refer to him as Bob down here. That's his real nickname, not this made-up Hispanic nickname. But, you know, he was on the debate stage a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he could put Texas in play. And, you know, again, we've had four retirements from Congress, and the Democrats are calling this a Texodus. And so they really believe that they have an opportunity here, and I think not. I think that we have a greater opportunity to reestablish true constitutional conservatism here in the Lone Star State.
Colonel West, are you still on the board of the NRA?
Yes, I am, and I'm not going to leave the board of the NRA. I know the problems that we're having. I spoke out about those problems going back in May, asking for Rain LaPierre to step down. And I've been kicked off of my committees. I've been my vice chairmanship of the committee has been taken away, but that's fine. I know that I'm standing on the side of what's right, and, of course, everyone is concerned about this latest revelation about NRA money being used to try to get Wayne LaPierre a $6 million mansion here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah, I did see that. You know, it's a great thing about our mainstream media in this country. They never let you down. They all are rooting for the demise of the NRA. There's a headline out this morning that a fourth board member has now stepped down from the NRA, which would seem like a big deal if they only had five people, but isn't the board like 70-some people?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You know, when I told people, 76 members of the NRA board, and there's already been someone announced to replace Julie Golub, is the individual, former soldier, one of the great marksmen in the United States of America, sharpshooter. And so it will continue on. But the thing is this, we have an opportunity to reform and improve the NRA because we need it right now. When you hear all this talk about banning weapons and red flag laws, which is totally unconstitutional. It violates the Second and the Fourth Amendment. And I would tell you, Mark, look up a 61-year-old gentleman by the name of Gary Willis, who was killed last November 2018 in Maryland because of red flag laws. When the police showed up at his home of residence at 5:17 in the morning. Now, why would that happen? That's what happens with these unconstitutional laws that Maryland accepted and implemented last year. That's why I'm totally against red flag laws.
Well, you know, it's the road to good intentions. We know the road to hell is paved with good intentions, as we've heard so many times. It sounds like
the FISA court.
Yeah. It's true. It sounds like a great idea until you start digging into it and you realize that who's making these decisions. And the question I always ask to the folks on the left is, which one of your rights do you want just temporarily suspended? Is it your free speech rights? Is it, you know, your right to personal property? What is it you want a single judge to be able to temporarily suspend for you tomorrow? And when it hits home, when it's a right that they're passionate about or seem to care about, then the shoe's on the other foot. That's completely different, they'll tell you. But it's not.
You're absolutely right. And the thing that we see with the left now, Mark, is that their ideological agenda becomes a right. And all of the constitutional rights, all of our, you know, Bill of Rights, that means nothing to them. And I think that's the big challenge, and we need to articulate that. As long as it's something that is acceptable to the progressive socialist left, it's a right. You have a right to free health care. You have a right to free college. You don't have a right to the freedom of religion or free speech. It's acceptable speech, or it's a freedom to worship, but they're going to, you know, restrain that. And you certainly don't have a right to keep and bear arms, because it says that shall not be infringed, but look at what they try to do.
Yeah, you know, I want to play this soundbite this weekend with Kirsten Gillibrand, who, of course, wants to be the Democratic nominee for president. She was in Iowa. She went to some forum on gun sense, it was called, with the Moms Demand Action people. And this is part of what she said. Listen.
If every one of you spends the next 4 weeks speaking out, using social media to be heard, tweeting at Mitch McConnell saying, Mitch, call the vote. Mitch, call the vote. He could call us back into Congress today. We could pass universal background checks today. We could ban assault weapons. We could ban large magazines. We could have a federal anti-trafficking law today. So it's your voices that matter. So keep speaking up. Do not be silent. Just keep demanding it. I promise you, your voices matter.
So she spends all this time on stage blasting the NRA, telling people to stand up and fight back. And the NRA absolutely kneecapped her. They put out a tweet that said, oh, by the way, Kirsten Gillibrand, did you forget about that love letter you wrote to us? And they Chris Cox released a copy of a letter she sent him when she was in Congress in 2008. She sounds like a Republican in this letter when she talks about that she completely supports Heller. She completely supports the individual right. She would never support banning certain firearms for cosmetic reasons. She would never support banning magazines because of an arbitrary number of cartridges, as she referred to them. I mean, it's unbelievable to read this and to hear the garbage that she's spewing now just because she wants to attract the progressive left vote in this country.
Well, you're absolutely right. And remember what Rahm Emanuel said, it's the mantra of the progressive left, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so that's exactly what she's trying to do. When she was running to be a senator from New York, she had to get that vote from upstate New York, and therefore she tried to sound like a sensible person instead of some whack job out of, Manhattan. But now she wants to join the whack jobs, and so she will, use their rhetoric. So it is the hypocrisy of the left, Mark, and it's so easy. You do this every day. You can poke holes in them like Swiss cheese.
Yes. Absolutely. And it's not hard to do when you look at some of the things they're proposing, Colonel West. I mean, things that would bankrupt our country more than it's already bankrupted with $22 trillion in debt. And then we have to listen to people like Bernie Sanders, who was joking yesterday about how we just have to spend a little more money. Go to cut 12.
Cost a little bit of money. So what? We're the richest country on earth.
Yeah, it's going to cost a little bit of money, but so what? We're the richest country on earth. The arrogance that on the left that they know better how to spend your hard-earned money than you do.
Yes, and remember that one of the most prosperous countries in our hemisphere once was Venezuela. And look at where they are today yeah. with the people that are eating out of garbage cans, going to the sewage to get drinking water, dying because they don't have medical supplies, starving. They don't have, food on the shelves. That is what Bernie Sanders thinks the United States of America can be on the path to. And remember, all these people praise Hugo Chavez, all these little leftists right here in America. And one of the first things Hugo Chavez did, Mark, we all know, he banned private ownership of firearms. Because he wanted to curtail gun violence. And what do you hear these people saying today?
Well, that's all they've got to run on. I mean, we know that the knee-jerk reaction, the banning bump stocks, this talk about a loophole of some sort in the law, particularly on gun control and these different issues that they're bringing up now, are all to trigger people on the left, so to speak, if you'll excuse the phrase. But wouldn't none of these proposals, Colonel West, would have stopped a single one of these mass shooting events?
None of them, and that's the whole point. They don't want to deal with the issue. Look, Nicholas Cruz, the Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, 39 to 41 times, his home was visited by local law enforcement. Nothing was done. FBI was tipped off. Nothing was done. The Broward school system down there, his behavior, he was expelled from school. Nothing was reported. You look at this young man out of Dayton. Nothing was reported on him. You can go through all of these cases. You can see that there's a single common denominator. It's a mental illness. And so this whole thing about universal background checks, Mark, you and I know that every single time you go to purchase a firearm, no matter if it's a gun show, at a gun store, or wherever, you have to go through a background check. BATF Form 4473. Most of these chuckleheads have never read BATF Form 4473 to understand all of the things you have to respond to. Sutherland Springs, the mass shooting there, because the United States Air Force did not put that gentleman into the system.
Right.
So therefore, he went out, lied, and got a firearm. But the mainstream media never tells you Stephen Williford, NRA firearms instructor with an AR-15, stopped that shooting at Sutherland Springs.
That's just a great point. Listen, Lieutenant Colonel West, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to you being at the helm of the party down there in Texas. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks you bet.
Very much, Mark. All the best.
We will talk to you soon. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, at Alan West on Twitter. Be sure and follow him there. You can go to theoldschoolpatriot.com to find out more about some of the books that he's written and how you can support what he's doing. Good to see some comments. I would love to have seen him run for Congress again because we need some common sense straight talking in Congress. No doubt about that. All right. Time for us to get to a quick break. 314-241-9797. Mark Lotter coming up. We'll talk to him about this supposed change in the immigration plan that the president's proposed. He's working for the president on his reelection effort. At 8:10, I've got Alexandra Salzman joining us. She is with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. We'll talk more about the situation that happened in Springfield at that Walmart.
And indeed, the whole department was. And frankly, angry to learn
of the MCC's failure to adequately secure this prisoner. We are now learning of serious irregularities at this facility that are deeply concerning and demand a thorough investigation. The FBI and the Office of Inspector General are doing just that.
Attorney General Barr there talking about his disappointment with what happened with the Jeffrey Epstein case. I mean, that is just a mess up there in the prison system. And clearly some answers are going to have to be figured out as to how that happened. In the meantime, according to the Attorney General, everybody else who might have been involved in that allegation or investigation is still on the hook. So it'll be interesting to see how that moves forward now that Epstein is out of the picture. Probably a few nervous folks around the country, if I had to guess. Right now, I want to get to my guest. He is Mark Lotter. He is the Director of Strategic Communication for Trump 2020. Mark, great to have you back on the program, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Good to have you back. You know, that I don't know if the president's officially responded to this or not. I haven't seen it. But this Jeffrey Epstein case was shocking, given how it was handled by the prison system, in my estimation.
Well, and I think that's why you saw the president's administration quickly with Attorney General Barr saying that there were some very serious irregularities here, and that's why both there is going to be an FBI investigation as well as an inspector general. The internal investigation are all going to take place. In the meantime, the ongoing investigation into the broader, horrible crimes committed by Epstein and anyone who may have been contributing or working on his behalf with those horrible incidents, that continues as well. So just because his death brings an end to his criminal offenses does not mean others are going to get a pass. That investigation is going to continue.
Yeah, these folks on the left, though, I mean, if the sky is going to be blue today, it must be Donald Trump's fault. I mean, listen to this this guy on CNN, Ari Melber. Is that his name? Go to cut 23, please.
That's the larger question. This is not the only important person in U.S. custody. This is just probably one of the most controversial, rightly reviled, now dead, famous people in custody. But the Bureau of Prisons is underfunded. They have struggled under an acting director with a president who says he likes acting. They had a deputy director vacancy for a while. This takes us back to bigger things that are a little more intricate, which is Donald Trump's lack of interest in staffing and funding his own cabinet, his own agencies.
So it must be Donald Trump's fault that Jeffrey Epstein was able to commit suicide and wasn't closely enough watched. Does he not have anything better to do, Mark Lotter, than watch out for every prisoner in America?
No, and this just shows, I mean, the Trump derangement syndrome is in full force. It really doesn't matter. As you said, every day that the President of the United States and Donald Trump wakes up as president is a day that the left is going to be unhinged. They're going to be unglued. They're going to try to blame and castigate everything on him while ignoring what the rest of America knows is that our country is doing great right now.
You know, Mark, I had Alan West on, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West on a bit earlier. And yeah, I pointed out to him when it comes to this immigration change, this public charge rule that, filters immigrants a little more, which is simply all it does. It enforces current law. I compared us with Canada. And in Canada, you can't get in unless you've got a job, and they can't offer you a job if there's any Canadian citizen who would rather have that job. I mean, their policies in other countries are much more strict than the United States has ever been.
No, you're absolutely right. Australia is also up there with some very strict merit-based immigration laws, and that's what the president is talking about wanting to take our country to. And we will always be a bright spot and a beacon for those who are seeking asylum and refugees from conflicts and persecutions. That's not going to change. But when it comes to immigration, the broader topic, we should be focused on merit-based immigration. And what the president's team announced yesterday has been in the law for 140 years. It was actually reinforced by two separate laws that were signed into law by Bill Clinton in 1996. And all it is basically saying is that if you're going to come here, or if you're already here seeking to change your immigration status, whether it's to be a green card or whether it to be seeking permanent U.S. residency or even citizenship, you have to be able to prove that you've got the skills to succeed and that you're not going to be a drain on the system. And isn't that what we should want as Americans, to bring the best and the brightest from around the world? Regardless of whether you come from, send us your best, your brightest, and we will welcome that. And in the meantime, those who are seeking to flee persecution, war, and those kinds of things, of course they're going to be welcome here under our refugee and asylum processes. But let's not abuse that and confuse that with the overall immigration question.
Yeah, thank you. It's the American dream. I tell you honestly, I've got a couple of people who are naturalized U.S. citizens, one from Russia, one from Iran, who were two of the hardest working people that I've ever met. And they came to this country with virtually nothing and worked their way up to be tremendously successful. And it continues the lie that somehow Republicans, or particularly this president, have some issue with immigration. And that's just not the case. The fight here is illegal immigration and making sure that we reform this system so that it makes sense for our country.
Yeah, very well said. And again, this is not new. This has been on the books for 140 years. You know, we've got this romanticization of Ellis Island, that people stepped off a boat, signed a book, and were admitted into our country, which is wrong. They went through a number of checks, including obviously health screenings, but to also make sure that they had the basic skills to be able to succeed here. And if you were illiterate in your own language, let alone in English, you know, many times you didn't get in, and they would send people back. And so, you know, we have to stop with this faulty notion that America has always been just open to anyone and everyone. We did have systems in place. We continue to have them in place. And now the president is saying, why don't we use them?
Yeah, it's a great point. We're talking to Mark Lotter, who is the strategic communication director for the president's reelection campaign. This headline this morning is something I pointed out the other day, but it finally made it into the Hill. Biden's gaffes pile up, worrying some supporters. I find it pretty funny myself. I won't put words in your mouth that 30 or 40% of the Democratic Party are hanging their hopes on a man who can't remember that he wasn't vice president when a mass shooting happened in this country.
And here's the key point. These are not just gaffes. I know that's what we like to call them in the political circles. It's an actual pattern. He has done this in his two previous failed presidential runs from 2007 and before. He's also made inappropriate racial remarks, not only just last week in Iowa, but again in 2007 and before. These are patterns with Joe Biden. It's not just a simple, oh, I misspoke, or a gaffe, so to speak. And that's what the Democrat Party is having to come to serious grips with in their desire to find someone that they think that can go toe-to-toe with President Trump. Their so-called front runner is showing that, you know, where he stands right now, and it's bringing a lot of people having a lot of concern. And we'll have to see if it gets any better, but you would think the third time would be the charm. And so far, we've just got the same old blundering Biden.
Boy, that is absolutely well said. Listen, Mark Lotter, always a pleasure having you on. Thank you.
You too, Mark. Good
talk. You bet. We'll talk to you soon. Director of Strategic Communication there for the presidential reelection campaign. He's right. It's been a pattern. Is there any other way to look at it? From Uncle Joe? I mean, he's been at this for a long time.
Don't screw around with me.
I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Rise up through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in
I air. Hesitate to speak right now because of the emotion in my voice. those are Chinese protesters in Hong Kong waving the American flag and singing our national anthem because they desire to have the freedoms that we have in this country. They're not kneeling. They're not disrespecting our flag. They're envious of what we have. And there's a lesson there for every one of these knuckleheads who kneels during the playing of our national anthem or stays seated or shows no respect to the freedom they have in this country. It just breaks my heart to watch this video of these folks so desperate for the freedoms that we have and knowing that people in this country don't appreciate it. I just want to play that for you in case you missed it. That's a great story. Really is.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of another great story, we've got one up on our website and, of course, on my Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show. Please go to there and like it, but check it out because if you missed the story about the Woodson Terrace police officer, Andy Madeline, who's been fighting cancer, and yesterday 25 or 30 police officers went to his home. He got to go there as well from his hospital treatment and walk his son to kindergarten. Such a touching story. Mm-hmm. The family's facing tremendous medical bills because of what he's going through. And there's a GoFundMe link that I put up on our Facebook page on The Mark Cox Show. You can go there and find it and help him out if you can because he's got a long battle ahead of him before he can get back to work. And we all know the sacrifices that our law enforcement agents make, and we certainly appreciate all that they do. So thoughts and prayers to the Madeline family, and you can find that on The Mark Cox Show on Facebook.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.